This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Kindness is Love in Action.
My sermon this morning is entitled, Kindness is Love in Action. It's one thing. We hear the word love bandied about so much. It's kind of begun to lose its meaning. We don't know which love people are talking about sometimes. Are they talking about the kind of love that wants to manipulate us? The kind of love that just means it's convenient to say it? The kind of love that's just said in passing like, hello, how are you, I love you? Or is it something deeper? And God's love, a deeper love, the Bible calls it in the Greek an agape love, love that God gives and extends to others through us. A love that encompasses the differences in people. A love that brings together people from different parts of life and makes us one in Christ. The Talmud says that there are 10 strong things. Iron is strong, it says, but fire melts it. Fire is strong, but water quenches it. Water is strong, but the clouds evaporate it. Clouds are strong, but wind drives them away. We're hoping that's going to happen today. Keep blowing, man. Man is strong, but fears cast him down. Fear is strong, but sleep overcomes it. Sleep is strong, yet death is stronger. But loving kindness survives death. The things that you have done and the things that you will do going forward to help others, to express God's love to them, make a lasting effect on their lives. You don't know sometimes how much of an effect your help, your love, your comfort, your encouragement, your healing hands have meant to the person with whom you are in contact. There's just something about a hug, just something about putting the hands on. You know, everybody whom Jesus ever healed, he put his hands on them. There's something tactile, something about the touch that is therapeutic. And so when we touch people's body, when we touch people's minds, when we touch people's hearts, when we touch them with the pure love of Jesus Christ, something affects them so deeply. And you may never know what that is, but I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. God says this to us in Isaiah 54:8, quote, with everlasting kindness will I have mercy. Everlasting kindness will I have mercy. God is a God of mercy. He's a holy God. He's a just God. He's a God that doesn't take sin lightly. He's a God who says that sin is wrong. And there are some things as right and wrong, even though the culture doesn't say so. God says so in this book. But God says, even when you and I make bad choices, and he's given us the will to make good choices or bad choices, even when you make bad choices, God doesn't abandon you. He cares so much about you. He has everlasting love and everlasting mercy that goes beyond our capacity for that. When you look around the world, you see that this love of which we speak this morning has no limitations. God's love is unconditional. Nevertheless, in our society today, we put limits on the people we will love, whether they're the same color as we are, the same mindset as we are, the same political persuasion. We narrow and narrow and narrow down our definition of what it means to love unconditionally. When God made us, formed us, the one who knows us best and loves us most, design humanity with a hunger for love, a hunger for kindness and caring and understanding and hope. In the dawn of time, as God interacted with the first human creation, the first man, Adam, the maker and designer saw that there was an empty spot in his newly minted creation. That empty spot was a black hole of loneliness. It was a place which could not be filled with any other entity in creation. And God diagnosed the emptiness, recognizing the best remedy for loneliness requires a human touch. And so God instituted the first human partnership. Partnership between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, in an eternal bond of love But acts of kindness and caring are not confined to the sacred institution of marriage alone. Wherever there is a human being, there is an opportunity for kindness, caring, and love. Whenever we interact with other people, there is an opportunity for us to love as Jesus loved. Jesus gave a parable which widens our definition of who and under what circumstance one is worthy of our love and of our care. And we find that parable in the book of Matthew 25, 34 to 40. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me and let's read this text together. Matthew 25, 34 to 40. It's up here on PowerPoint for you. Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Here we go. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, for I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Thank you. You may be seated. Throughout his 3-year ministry, Jesus reached out to a wide spectrum of hurting people. Just thinking about the list that he shares here in the book of Matthew, this is Jesus speaking. He speaks about hungry people and thirsty people. And we say, well, this is America. There can't possibly be hungry and thirsty people. What happens after a hurricane, if we want to be just open like that? What's happening in Puerto Rico and some of the islands? Look at all the water that had to be distributed down to Houston and New Orleans and these places. Hungry and hurting people. There are people all around this township. Even though this is the fourth wealthiest community in the country, there are hungry and hurting people. He said that he would reach out to a stranger. That's an outsider, the people that nobody else wants to connect with. I was privileged, and some folks in the congregation became part of my team on Tuesdays a few years back at a place called Hagedorn Psychiatric Hospital. We were privileged to go up there to minister to psychiatric patients. We began with the geriatric psychiatric, that's the older patients, and eventually we wound up taking not just the geriatric, but also the younger patients. These were people who were cut off from their families because their family didn't want to know them anymore. They had no friends. When we came to sing, when we came to share some words of encouragement from the Bible, when we came to hug them, people really started to know that there was something out there called love. When I first started at Hagedorn, I didn't know exactly what the tone and the texture and the shape of my ministry was going to be. And I asked the Lord, what shall I do there? How am I going to do it? I've never been a chaplain before. I've been a businessman for 30 years. And God said to me, just be who you are. And I looked up to God and I said, who's that? Well, he said, you know, do your music, do your words of encouragement, do your hugs. And I started doing hugs, asking folks if I could give them a hug or a handshake. Now, I was up in a group situation in the second floor of one of the psychiatric rooms up there. And we had about 25 people in there. And a lady comes in from the side. And when I saw this lady, I'd only been there a few weeks or a couple of months at most. She scared me. It looked to me like she put her lipstick on, first smearing it on her hand, and then smearing it across her face. And she had no teeth. And I was kind of like hesitant. And the first thing I said to her was, can I come over and give you a hug? And she looked at me, she said, yeah, Reverend, you can give me a hug. And so I went over to her and I gave her a hug and I welcomed her. And after we got through with our service, she raised her hand. She said, Reverend, can I say something? I said, sure you can. When I came in here, you gave me a hug. And nobody's hugged me in over a dozen years. And I knew at that point, that's part of what God called me to do, was to have a ministry of reaching out to people and breaking that barrier we have around it. But then something happened that made me doubt it. It was in an auditorium. There was about 50 patients, whatever it was, in those days. And patients started to come through the line, and I would, can I have a handshake or a hug? And I'd be greeting folks in wheelchairs and whatnot. And then somebody new came to the door. This man was huge. He took up two big double doors. He shouldn't have had a name. He should have had an address. And he saw me hugging people. And when I got to him, he looked down at me and he said, "If you try to hug me, I'm going to break every bone in your body." To hug or not to hug? That was the question. Jesus' ministry was marked by his compassion for all people. Let's add to the list the parable gave and think about some of the people Jesus touched. He touched the blind. Imagine that, being blind from birth. And then along comes Jesus and touches your eyes. And now you see what you've never seen before. Total darkness. Lame, can't walk. Deaf, can't hear. Mute, can't speak. Lepers, again, a whole category of people whom nobody wanted to know and were cast aside by everybody. Dying people he touched. Children who were dying he touched. He touched a woman with an undiagnosed disease who had given every penny that she had to the doctors. Nobody knows that story, right? And the doctors couldn't do a thing for her. But she sought out Jesus because she knew that in Jesus there was a miraculous healing to be found. She reached just the hem of his robe, and she was healed immediately. And Jesus said, "Somebody touched me." He was surrounded by a throng of people. And his disciples said, "What do you mean somebody touched you? Everybody's touching you." "Not that way. Somebody touched me in faith believing." In our text, Jesus is addressing his audience, which in the context is the nations of the world whom he will one day judge. He begins his judgment with the claim that these people whom he was judging saw Jesus hungry, thirsty, naked, as an outsider and a prisoner, but never lifted a hand to help him in their hour of need. And they responded, "We've never seen you in those circumstances." And Jesus says to them, "If you've seen another human being hurting and avoided them, you've avoided me." Now that should be a challenge to you and a challenge to me. How many hurting people have I walked away from? Oh, maybe they're not lying in the street. Although I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, along with Gene, and we've seen people lying in the street, people too drunk or drugged out of their mind. And that's not in the cities anymore, it's spreading. And we don't walk away from these folks. Jesus says, if you've seen another human being hurting or sorrowing, and you've walked away from them or avoided them, you've walked away from me and you've avoided me. But if you've gotten out of your comfort zone to touch the life and suffering of someone, then Jesus says, you've done it to me. And there are people in this room, and maybe even all of you, who have done that to somebody. God bless you. What an amazing thing for the creator and caretaker of the vast universe to say, if you love and care for another person, you're doing it for me. And you're doing it to me. I can't even get my arms around that reality. He's the master of the universe. The Hubble telescope is showing us things about the universe and how endless and how vast it is and how even though it seems to be chaotic, it's really in order. And we can't even imagine that big thing. While he's orchestrating and taking care of all of that, he sees your acts of kindness and he says, when you helped that person, when you lifted that person, when you encouraged that pessimistic, negative thinking person, and you shared Jesus with them, you did it to me. And it isn't necessary big things. It could be a smile. It could be a kind word or a hug. Here's a story about a pastor in Philadelphia, I believe. One day about the noon hour, I was walking the street and I noticed a homeless man walking toward me. He was covered with dirt and soot from head to toe. There was filthy stuff caked material on his skin. But the most noticeable thing about him was his beard. It hung down almost to his waist, and there was rotted food stuck in it. The man was holding a cup of McDonald's coffee, and the lip of the coffee cup was already smudged from his dirty mouth. As he staggered toward me, He seemed to be staring into his cup of coffee. Then suddenly he looked up and yelled, "Hey, mister, would you like some of my coffee?" I have to admit, I really didn't. But I knew that the right thing to do was to accept his generosity, and so I did. I took a sip. As I handed the cup back to him, I said, "You're getting pretty generous, aren't you? Giving away your coffee? What's gotten into you today that makes you so generous?" The old man looked straight into my eyes and said, "Well, the coffee was especially delicious today, and I figured if God gives you something good, you ought to share it with people." I thought of myself, and I thought to myself, "Oh man, he has really set me up. This is going to cost me $5. I asked him, "I suppose there's something I can do in return for this, isn't there?" The man answered, "Yes, you can give me a hug." To tell the truth, I was hoping for the $5. He put his arms around me, and I put my arms around him. Then suddenly I realized something. He wasn't going to let me go. People were passing up on the sidewalk. They were staring at me. There I was, dressed in my establishment garb, hugging this dirty, filthy man. I was embarrassed. I didn't know what to do. Then, little by little, my embarrassment changed to awe and reverence. I was hungry. I heard a voice echoing down from the corridors of time. I was hungry. "Did you feed me?" I was naked. "Did you clothe me?" I was sick. "Did you care for me?" I was the homeless person you met on the street that day. "Did you hug me? For if you did this to the least of these, you did it to me." Governor William Penn said this, "If there is any kindness I can show or any good thing I can do for any fellow being, let me do it now and not deter nor neglect it, as I shall not pass this way again." Now is the time to show love, not later. There may not be a later to tell the people in your life that you love them. There may not be an opportunity again to share Jesus, his love, his sacrifice, his death on Calvary with them. If not now, then when? And if not you, then who? Jesus' ministry spoke to the whole person, not just the physical needs. Yes, he fed them. Yes, he healed them. And yes, he touched them at the point of their need. But he also spoke to our nature, our soul, our heart, our spirit. He spoke to our anger, our injustice and brutality, our passions and our lust. And he spoke to the cancer of our soul, sin. He said in Matthew 19:10 that he came, quote, "to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus came to bring the greatest gift God ever extended to the human race, himself. That's like, "I've got a cure for sin," God says in heaven. "I need somebody to go down and deliver it." And Jesus said, "I'll do it. I'll do it out of love." He gave his life on the cross, believing that God came to earth in the flesh, died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose from the grave, is the saving gospel. Putting one's faith, trust in Jesus Christ puts us in right relationship with Father God. The Apostle James says this in James 2:17, "Faith without works is dead." If you say that you know Jesus, and yet your life doesn't reflect any of his compassion, something is missing. Our life must demonstrate Christ-like love, care for those around us. That is the serving gospel. Jesus says it this way in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When you reach out to touch the lives of people in Jesus' name, you are doing God's work. Russian novelist Leo Tolstoy wrote a story summing up Christ-like good works based on his reading of our text. This is what he says. One night, Martin Abdich, a humble shoemaker, dozing over his open Bible, suddenly seemed to hear a voice saying, Martin, look thou in the street tomorrow, for I am coming to visit thee. Convinced that the Lord Jesus was going to visit him, Martin awoke the next morning with nervous excitement, but no one showed up. No one showed up that day except a succession of penniless and pitiful souls. An aged veteran, a shivering mother and a newborn, an old peddler woman, and a frightened boy who had stolen one of her apples. With a kind heart, Martin cared for each person, but as evening fell, he was disappointed that Jesus had not visited him that day. Putting on his spectacles, he took up his Bible, and with a sigh, he opened to Matthew 25, and he read, For I was hungry, and you gave me food. Thirsty, you gave me drink. A stranger, and you took me in. Lord, when did we do these things? Looking on down the page, Martin read, Truly, I say to you, as you did it to me, of the least of these my brethren, as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he understood the vision that had come true, and that his Savior had in every and in very truth visited him that day, and he had received him. Jesus was there in every single one of those hurting lives. Thank you. Thank you for touching the lives of other people in Jesus' name. The person who sows seeds of kindness enjoys a perpetual harvest. That's you. People will never forget the kindness that you extended to them. And probably the greatest gift you can ever give them is to share Jesus with them, to let them know that Jesus died on that cross, lay in that grave, rose again, so that they might have new life in him. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the greatest thing I can say this morning is if you do not know Jesus, please ask him this morning to forgive you, and I ask him to forgive my sin. Ask him to come into your heart. Tell him you believe he died on the cross for you. Tell him you believe he was in that grave. Tell him you believe he rose from the dead. And ask him to come into your heart that you may follow him all the days of your life, so that when you come in contact with folks, you can meet them spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Your love is put, if kindness is putting your love into action. Let's pray. This morning, Father, I just pray your blessing upon each one of the folks who's here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your love and for your care as expressed through these lives. Thank you for translating love into the lives of people who care. And we pray, Father, that as we go back to enjoy this meal, we would recognize that there are people who are without food this morning, people without love or hugs this morning, people without a song in their heart, people without an uplifting message on their mind. We pray, Father, that when we leave this place, we will be grateful that we have been with you, that you have been with us, and when we leave this place, we might share the good things that we've experienced with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.